Dear brothers and sisters, peace be with you. And everyone in front of the cell phone, in front of the TV, in front of the laptop, peace be with you all. I thank God for the opportunity that I can share God's word with you this morning. We need to solve the problem of growing weary and faint-hearted. We need to solve the problem of growing weary and faint-hearted. When I was in China, I served the law part-time for 4 years and then full-time for 10 years. God's grace was abundant, yet many times I felt weary and faint-hearted. Thank God for His grace. In 2016, God led me to the U.S. and I studied in the seminary in Columbia, in South Carolina. Immediately after my graduation, on December 16 last year, I came here to serve in this church as a Mandarin pastor. I thank God and thank every one of you here. Everyone has treated my family and treated me very well. But serving in a trilingual, in a multicultural church, here I am facing a lot of new challenges and difficulties, very challenging. Though I have been only serving in our church for 4 months, I have experienced times of being weary and faint-hearted. Dear brothers and sisters, have you experienced growing weary or faint-hearted in serving the Lord? Have you had this kind of experience? When you have served the Lord a lot, some people tell you, hey, you need to serve a little bit more. When you serve the Lord more. And then some people may say, hey, you serving to the law is not quite enough. You're serving to the law, maybe here is something wrong. For example, when you serve the more, and then you have more opportunity to serve, and then finally you become the EB member and serve the Lord. Nobody should complain, right? But even when you become an EB member, and then maybe some people will complain and tell you, hey, you are not working hard as a deacon. You are not wise enough as an elder. Do you feel faint-hearted? Sometimes, even we conflict because our opinions are so different. Do you feel growing weary and faint-hearted? How can we solve this problem of growing weary and faint-hearted? Actually, we can never solve this problem by ourselves. What's God's cure for faint-heartedness? What's God's cure for growing weary and faint-hearted? God's cure for weariness and faint-heartedness is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3. This Bible verse has led me walk through the valley of faint-heartedness and weariness. And I surely believe that these verses can also help you to overcome weariness and faint-heartedness. Let's open the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 3. Let's open the Bible. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you, for you are the creator of the whole universe. You are the only true God who is full of mercy and compassion. We come into your presence today. For you love us, you invite us to come to you, and you promise us that you will give us rest. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you so much for your love. When we were still sinners, you love us. You came to this world to die for us on the cross, and you pay for the penalty of our sin. Thank you so much. Dear Lord Jesus, how great is your love. We cannot understand your love. You love so unconditionally and love us to the end. We want to love you, and we want to respond to your love, to follow you and to serve you. Dear Lord Jesus, but we confess that we are weak. We are so weak. So many times in serving of you, we feel weary and faint-hearted. We even want to give up sometimes. Please help us to fix our eyes upon you, to meditate your love, to meditate your grace, your ministry, and your example. Therefore, we are strengthened by your love, by your grace, by your example. Therefore, we can serve you without growing weary or faint-hearted. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus Christ, dear Holy Spirit, empower your humble servant to speak your word according to your will. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, and please help and bless every one of your children. We are strengthened by your word. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray, Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, on the path of serving the Lord, we will at times, surely, we will become weary and faint-hearted. But looking to Jesus can change our viewpoint and attitudes and make us renewed. Jesus is our best example in that he endured so many insults, he endured so many hostility from sinners against himself. Let's consider Jesus from five aspects. Lest we grow weary or faint-hearted. First, Jesus endured contempt and rejection from his people. Jesus endured contempt and rejection from his people. Jesus, this takes place from his birth. Before the birth of Jesus, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Therefore, Jesus' father Joseph took Mary and went a long way up from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Mary was with child in her womb. And while they were arrived in Bethlehem, and then Joseph asked for the innkeeper to prepare a room for them, to rent a room for them, but was rejected. Therefore, Mary and Joseph, the only thing they can do, they need to go to a stable and live there. And Mary gave birth to his firstborn son. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in the manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Because there was no place for them in the inn. What is the spiritual meaning of this? The Gospel of John tells us. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has no understanding of it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. When Jesus was in his 30s, he came to preach the gospel of God's kingdom, performing a lot of miracles, turning water to wine, making the blind to see, making the crippled able to walk, making those afflicted with leprosy clean. Because of his great sermons and his miracles, many people followed Jesus. Even thousands of people followed him. But dear brothers and sisters, so many people only follow Jesus superficially and temporarily. In fact, Jesus encountered much more rejection than welcome. He encountered much more rejection than welcome. Many more people rejected him instead of accepting him. Many more people deserted him instead of following him. When he performed the miracle of feeding 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fishes, thousands upon thousands of people followed Jesus. But after this miracle, Jesus told them, I am the bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Then many Jews grumbled about him and said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he say, I have come down from heaven? And many of his disciples respond to his word, saying, This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer follow him, no longer walk with him. It seemed that Jesus had thousands upon thousands of disciples. But those so-called disciples, they would leave Jesus whenever they don't like Jesus speaking. Whenever they don't like what Jesus said, they will leave. In fact, Jesus only have 12 close disciples, and one of them is a traitor. Jesus is more welcomed than any pastor, but Jesus has also suffered more contempt and rejection than any pastor. Amen, Chen Wei? Amen? He said, Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is the perfect one, yet he was contempted and rejected by many people. Our lives are not perfect. Our lives are far from perfect. Our ministry are far from perfect. So if some people contempt and reject us, if we are contempted and rejected by others, it should not surprise us. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. First, Jesus endures contempt and rejection from his people. Second, Jesus endures misunderstanding and sarcasm from his brothers. Jesus endures misunderstanding and sarcasm from his brothers. Jesus was not only preached the gospel to God's kingdom, but also healed the sick, cast out demons, and performed a lot of miracles. Though many Jewish people misunderstood him and rejected him, his brothers were supposed to know him because his brothers have a lot of more opportunity to know Jesus better. But on the contrary, Jesus' brother disbelieved Jesus all the more. They not only misunderstood him, but also laughed at him. Maybe Jesus' brothers thought this way. We have the same dad and same mom. You have nothing special than us. Though many people said that Jesus can perform miracles, Jesus' brother did not believe in that at all. They even laughed at him. Just after a miracle of 5 bread and 2 fishes, Jesus' brothers laughed at him. How they laughed at him? John chapter 7 tells us, when the Jewish feast of the tabernacle was near, Jesus' brother said to him, You ought to leave here and go to Judea so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world. For even his own brother did not believe in him. They laughed at Jesus. They satirized Jesus. If you are the Son of God, don't perform miracles in such a small village. Don't just perform miracles in River Low. Don't perform miracles just near Green Haven. Don't perform miracles just in front of Pastor Chen Wei's house. If you are the Son of God, go to a big place. Go to Beijing, Shanghai, perform the miracle. Go to Wuhan, New York, and perform the miracle. If you are the Son of God, go to the capital, go to Jerusalem, and perform the miracle. I think if we were Jesus, if we could perform miracles, we might perform a miracle immediately. and made them have leprosy on their face, and then pray for them and let the leprosy disappear, and tell them, "Now you see, I am the Son of God. I am so different from you." But thanks to our Lord Jesus, he did not do that. When Jesus misunderstood and laughed by his brothers, he just told them, "Now, my time has not yet come." He just explained, "My time has not yet come." Dear brothers and sisters, on the path of serving the Lord, we are sure to encounter situations that make us grow weary and faint-hearted. What should we do? Consider Jesus. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostilities against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. First, Jesus endures contempt and rejection from his people. Second, Jesus endures misunderstanding and sarcasm from his brothers. Third, Jesus endures hatred and persecution from leaders. Jesus endures hatred and persecution from leaders. When Jesus was in the world, not the ordinary people nor the bandits opposed him the most. Those who opposed him the most were the religion leaders, the priests, elders, and the Pharisees. Those religion leaders looked very godly. They were like white worship tombs, which outwardly appeared beautiful, but within were full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. They also outwardly appeared righteous to others, but within they were full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Why did the religion leaders hate Jesus so much? Because Jesus claimed himself to be the Messiah, and this was a great challenge to their authority. When Jesus served, he preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, healed the sick and cast out demons, and performed many miracles. Although many people misunderstood him and did not believe in him, Jesus still had many supporters and many followers. Therefore, those religion leaders were jealous of him and feared of him. In addition, Jesus Christ often reproached the teachers of the law, reproached those religion leaders, reproached them for their hypocrisy, reproached them for their fake piety. Jesus even reproached them for turning the temple into the den of thieves. Jesus' authority, Jesus' righteous word and deeds became great challenge to their authority and their earthly gain. So they hated Jesus to the point of wanting to kill him. Those religion leaders did not love God, but they obeyed God's law superficially. To show their piety, they turned God's commands into rigid regulations. They even regarded the healing on Sabbath as walking on Sabbath, and therefore that was breaking the law. Jesus was disgusted with their fake piety. Therefore, Jesus often healed the sick on the Sabbath. Jesus purposely healed the sick on the Sabbath, but they did not glorify God for what Jesus had done. On the contrary, they charged Jesus for breaking the law of the Sabbath and even want to kill Jesus many times. Once, Jesus healed a man who had been ill for 38 years by the pool of Bethesda, and the religion leaders accused him of breaking the Sabbath. Jesus answered them in John chapter 5, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Then the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him because they thought that Jesus not only was breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Actually, Jesus is God. But they want to kill Jesus. It is hard for us to understand that the religion leaders hate Jesus to the point of insanity. After Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they did not recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. Even if Jesus already raised a dead person, they don't recognize Jesus as the Son of God. But they still want to kill Jesus, and they gather together to plot to kill Jesus. They even plot to kill Lazarus together. Later, on a Passover night, the chief priest, the chief priests and the elders of the people came with soldiers to arrest Jesus. Peter stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back into its place. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Jesus can appeal for the Father, and the Father can rescue him immediately. But Jesus did not do that. Jesus did not appeal to the Father. Jesus did not fight with them, but let them bring him to the high priest. In the presence of the high priests, they accused Jesus with many false testimonies, but Jesus did not answer even one word to them. Jesus did not even answer one word to their accusations. Because the Jews were under the government of the Rome, and they have no authority to kill people. They have no authority to put people to death. Therefore, they sent Jesus to Pilate to have Pilate put Jesus to death. Pilate had Jesus flogged, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns to put it on Jesus' head and mock him and laugh at him. Jesus endured all this insult and torture silently. The most ironical thing is that Pilate brought Jesus to trial. He said to Jesus, "Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to sentence you to death? Don't you realize that I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" This is the most horrible opposition in history. This is the most horrible opposition in history. A created man conducts a trial on the creator of all humankind. A worse sinner conducts a trial on the most holy and most righteous Son of God. Jesus only answered him simply, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." When Pilate heard this, he was afraid, but he did not repent. He succumbed to the voice of the religion leaders and the people, and he sentenced Jesus to death. Jesus did not defend himself. He accepted the unjust sentence, walking to Golgotha, being crucified on the cross, fulfilling the salvation according to God's will, and prepared the salvation for us on the cross. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus. Jesus endured contempt and rejection from his people. Jesus endured misunderstanding and sarcasm from his brothers. Jesus endured hatred and persecution from leaders. Jesus endured betrayal and denial from his disciples. So the fourth, Jesus endured betrayal and denial from his disciples. Jesus is the kindest and best teacher in the entire history. He loved every one of his disciples. He took care of every one of them and left them with the best example. Judah followed Jesus for 3.5 years, eat together and live together, listened to Jesus' teaching, saw Jesus healing the sick, driving out demons, and saw Jesus performing numerous miracles. Judah was also sent by Jesus to preach the gospel with other co-workers, with other co-disciples, with other co-apostles. And Jesus also healed his co-workers, casting out demons, healing the sick. He has seen a lot of these things. He is experienced a lot of God's grace. Even at the Last Supper, even when Jesus Christ washed his disciples' feet, he also washed Judas' feet. Judas has received so many love and so many grace, yet Judas betrayed Jesus only for 30 silver coins. This is the worst betrayal in the world. On that dark night, when Judas approached Jesus to kiss him, Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" This expressed Jesus' most painful feeling inside of his heart. For the most cruel, hearted betrayal is under the most intimate kiss. Dear brothers and sisters, was it a wrong decision for Jesus to choose Judas as his disciple? No. If no, why his chosen disciple betrayed him? It is not Jesus' mistake to choose Judas as his disciple. It is out of Jesus' sovereignty and wisdom to choose Judas as his disciple. Jesus chose Judas to tell us that even if you have the best chance, you may not cherish the chance. Even if you have the greatest grace, you may fall from the grace. Judas is the example. And Jesus chose Judas to let us know that even in the best minister group, it is possible that there may be non-believer in the midst of us. Even in the best church, it could be have non-believer, bad people, or even traitors in our midst. Don't be faint-hearted if one day you are opposed or even betrayed. Dear brothers and sisters, consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. After Jesus was betrayed by Judas, all of his disciples escaped. One of his third favorite disciples, Peter, denied Jesus 3 times. What's different is that Judas sinned against Jesus out of intentional betrayal. The disciple escaped because of fear, and Peter denied Jesus 3 times because of fear. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. You will all fall away because of me this night." But Peter answered him, "Though everyone will fall away, they all fall away because of you. I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to Jesus, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing. Jesus knows us much more than we know ourselves. Peter said, I will never, even if I have to go to jail, even if I have to die with you, I will never betray you. I will never deny you. This means Peter loved the law. Dear brothers and sisters, please note that willing to love the law, willing to love the law, and already love the law are two different things. Willing to love the law and already love the law are two different things. Your heart is willing does not mean that your body has obeyed. Your vows to the Lord does not mean that you have fulfilled them. How many times have we been deeply moved and with tears we make a vow to the Lord? I surrender all. I surrender all. However, as soon as we leave the church, as soon as we come back to our home, as soon as we go to the working place, we are captured by all kinds of things in the world. Or we really have the heart to serve. However, during serving the Lord, when we encounter different opinions from our co-workers, when we encounter criticism from brothers and sisters, when we encounter misunderstanding from brothers or sisters, many times we want to say, I will not serve you anymore. I will never serve you anymore. If we are willing to serve, but we do not prepare our heart to be contradicted, if we are willing to serve, but we do not prepare our hearts to be criticized, to be judged, to be misunderstood, we are not able to serve to the end. In the way of serving the law, there may be people who appreciate you. There may be people who will encourage you. In the way of serving the law, for sure, there will be people who will criticize you, will judge you, or even slander you. Amen? Amen? Chen Wei knocks his head. Jesus has the greatest love and the best service, but he also suffered the most merciless rejection, misunderstanding, criticism, and slander. May the Lord prepare our hearts to serve. When Peter sworn his faithfulness to Jesus, Jesus did not contradict him or laugh at him. Jesus only told him in advance, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. When you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter, Peter, you will be weak and you will fail. But I know that you love the Lord. Do not lose heart in failure, but cheer up and encourage your brothers. Cheer up and encourage your brothers. According to the Bible, when Peter denied the Lord for the first time, the rooster crowed for the first time, but he didn't realize anything. When he denied the Lord for the second time, the rooster did not crow. But when he denied the Lord for the third time, the rooster crowed the second time. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. As we can imagine, Jesus' eyes must be full of compassion, looking at Peter, reminding Peter what he had already encouraged him in ahead. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Peter, Peter, I know that you will fail at this point, but I also know that you love me. Don't be faint-hearted. Stand up, be courageous, and strengthen your brothers. How gracious is our Lord Jesus. When he was betrayed by Judas, and when he was denied by Peter, Jesus was calm and completely accept the hostility and betrayal from sinners, and he completely accept the denial made by a weak disciple. Every time when I consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners, I am deeply and truly moved. Dear brothers and sisters, how often do we lose our heart? How often do we lose our temper just because of others hurt us a little bit? Just because of others insult us a little bit? Just because others disrespect us a little bit? We jump up, we cannot stand it. But our Lord Jesus, Judas betrayed him. He accepted the betrayal calmly. Peter denied him. He told Peter to cheer up. Our Lord Jesus is really a perfect example for our lives. Dear brothers and sisters, on the path of serving the Lord, we will become weary or faint-hearted sometimes. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus endures contempt and rejection from his people. Jesus endures hatred and persecution from leaders. Jesus endures betrayal and denial from his disciples. Finally, let's consider Jesus, the fifth aspect. Jesus endures ridicule and mocks from robbers. Jesus endures ridicule and mocks from robbers. There were two robbers who were crucified with Jesus. In the beginning, both of the robbers laughed at Jesus. Matthew chapter 27 tells us, then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, swagging their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priest, who with the scribes and elders, mocked him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. In the beginning, both robbers laughed at Jesus and reviled Jesus. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Dear brothers and sisters, if you were Jesus, would you come down from the cross? If you were Jesus Christ, will you come down from the cross? If Jesus come down from the cross, that means we will not have salvation. If I were Jesus, I would come down from the cross and then immediately nail myself back to the cross with a miracle and scare them to death. But thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ, he did not use his divinity on the cross, but he just died for us on the cross as a man. Dear brothers and sisters, how can anyone bear such insult from sinners, from robbers, from the scum of the earth? But our Lord Jesus Christ endured the insult silently. Jesus overcame all ridicules and mocks with his silence. In his silence, one of the robbers heard loudest reproach in the bottom of his heart. He think, if he was not the Son of God, how can he endure such hostility? How can he endure such insult so peacefully? He must be the Holy One. He must be the Son of God. For this sake, this robber turned and rebuked the other. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. When you come into your kingdom, Jesus answered him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus told him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus did not ask him, how much have you steal? How much have you robbed? O scum of the earth, how dare you to pray for me? Jesus did not say this way. If we were Jesus, we can at least ask him, what have happened before? I will forgive you. But you just laugh at me. Have you forgotten so soon? Neither did Jesus say this way. Our Lord Jesus always forgives the worst sinner who really repents. He always accepts the worst sinner with the deepest compassion. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, truly I say to you, 25 times. We don't know how many times did Jesus actually say, truly I say to you. But we know that this is the last time Jesus said, truly I say to you, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus came from heaven to this world. He endured countless opposition and hostility. Yet his only purpose is truly to bring every sincere repentant sinner back to the paradise. Dear friends, if you have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, but today you are willing to come to him and say to him, Lord, I am a sinner. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I am willing to accept you as my personal Savior and Lord of life. Dear friends, if you are willing to pray sincerely, Jesus will forgive all your sins and give you eternal life and send his Holy Spirit to live in your heart as a guarantee of your salvation and to guide your life. I hope that, dear friends, I hope that you can accept Jesus Christ as soon as possible. God bless you greatly. Dear brothers and sisters, for sure we will encounter all kinds of difficulty in the way of serving the Lord, whether indifference or ridicule or rejection or opposition or hostility or even betrayal. Surely we will feel weary and faint-hearted. But thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. He has endured all this. He has endured contempt and rejection from his people. He has endured misunderstanding and sarcasm from his brothers. He has endured hatred and persecution from the leaders. He has endured betrayal and denial from his disciples. He has endured ridicules and mocks from robbers. Jesus has left for us a perfect example. He has overcome all this and has risen from the dead. He has sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, we will not grow weary or faint-hearted. Dear brothers and sisters, let us consider Jesus who induces from sinners such hostility against himself so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. May the Lord bless you as your ministry. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for setting a perfect example for us. You have suffered everything, died for us on the cross, yet you resurrected from the grave, ascended to heaven, and sat down on the right hand of the Father. In the way of serving you, many times we feel so weary and faint-hearted.
But dear Lord Jesus Christ, help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us to see that you have endured all this. You have endured contempt and rejection from your people. You have endured misunderstanding and sarcasm from your brothers. You have endured hatred and persecution from leaders. You have endured betrayal and denial from your disciples. You have endured ridicules and mocks from robbers. But you have overcome all this because you are the victorious God. Thank you so much. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, help us to fix our eyes upon you so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, empower us to serve you faithfully with joy. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, help us. Help us to serve you. May your kingdom be advanced. May your name be glorified. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you all.